Let's pray.
Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you, and we ask you to do your will with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past several months, we've been looking at the three things that are ours to do in order to maintain our Christian walk and our spiritual attitude. I hope you know what they are by now. Know Scripture, fellowship, and pray. We've worked our way through these, and this morning I want to take a look at a spiritual activity that encompasses all three of these required endeavors, and even more, worship. In general, in today's church, we usually associate the title of worship leader or worship director with music, singing, choirs, bands, instruments, plays, skits, anything that affords us the opportunity to express the emotion of our belief. Over the years, we have come to view the term worship within the framework of the expression of the emotion of our theology. The term praise is linked in our minds to worship as if they were one and the same thing. In some larger churches, praise and worship teams lead the congregation in familiar songs and hymns that not only speak to our hearts the truth of God, but they allow us to feel the truth of God, and then afford us the opportunity to send it back to God with passionate, melodious sincerity. This is something we should do, something we must do to heal ourselves of the wounds of our sanctification process and to try to please the heart of God who has done so much for us. With the emotional intimacy, Scripture says that he inhabits when it is offered to him through worship. Yes, worship is praise, but worship is much more than that. Worship is something bigger than emotion, something deeper than knowledge. It is everything you know and feel about God expressed through your daily life. All praise is worship, but not all worship is praise. Praise is the sweet incense we offer up to God. Worship is the fire that sends it up to him. Worship is a much broader term than either prayer or praise. Ecclesiastically, the term has come to encompass just about everything we do here on Sunday morning. Throughout Christendom, on Sunday morning service is often referred to as the worship service, or some variation of that phrase. We consider every part of what we do here on Sunday morning to be worship, the singing of hymns and spiritual songs, the playing of music, prayer and praise, the giving of tithes and offerings, the preaching and teaching of the word, the reading of creeds, the sacraments, the candles, the cross. They are all part of Sunday morning worship service. We linked the terms worship and service a long time ago, and we now consider them to be one thing. Worship is the thing we do in church on Sunday mornings. This morning, I want to separate the two words for a little while so that we could take a look at the term worship by itself, independent of any qualifier. Scripture will bring them back together for us shortly, but in reverse order, giving us service of worship instead of worship service. Scripture makes it abundantly clear that worship is part of our relationship with God. Scripture after scripture urges us to worship him. The last six chapters of the book of Psalms are a list of reasons why we should worship God. Everyone and everything who knows who God is worships him. From the entire world host of heaven to the smallest part of creation, every man who has walked the earth will worship him when they stand before him, because they will see him. Romans 14:11 says, "For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." And my advice, as always, is beat the end of a life rush and worship him now. True worship cannot be mandated. It can only be offered freely as an expression of a known truth. We don't worship God because he will damn us if we don't. We worship him because he saved us when we didn't. In most scripture, worship is something we encourage each other to do, with valid reasons listed and holy qualities proclaimed and reminded of. Psalms 95:6, the psalmist writes, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." The psalmist encourages us, calls us, to worship our God by bowing down and kneeling before him. And he gives us the two basic reasons for doing so: because he is the Lord, and he is our Maker, because of who he is compared to us, and because of what he has done for us. All worship springs forth from our understanding of these two things, not from a requirement or a mandate. Bowing and kneeling, prostrating oneself before another, is an act of humility that signifies respect of the authority and power of the one you're bowing before. Bowing is not groveling. It is acknowledging the facts with a sign of deep respect. It's not a display of one's weakness, but a proclamation of another's power. The psalmist implores us to collectively acknowledge and proclaim who God is with signs of respect and reverence. In the New Testament, Paul takes worship a step beyond the act of kneeling and bowing. He urges us to display our contrition with the actions of our day-to-day lives. He doesn't urge us to attend a worship service, but rather to attend our worship with service. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Here the terms service and worship are joined back together by Paul and qualified by the term spiritual. Paul is saying to worship God spiritually. The bowing and kneeing have to be proven by your life for those who truly worship Him. Worshiping God is more than bending your knees. It is bending your will to His word, because obedience is the purest form of worship. Bending your knee may signify worship. Obedience is worship. Remember, worship is not a means to an end. It is not something we do to be saved. It is something we do because we have been saved. Worship is an earned and learned response to the truth of God, a proclamation of reverence proven by submission. We can offer Him no greater song, no sweeter words, no hymn or prose more compelling than "Your will, not mine." We never worship anyone because we were commanded to. Demanding worship is contrary to the concept. We worship because we reasonably deem one worthy of worship. And we can only deem someone worthy of praise if we know them. Life has taught us, as a rule, to assume that none are worthy of our worship. Life has also proven to us that God alone is the exception to that rule. If you truly know God, no one will have to compel you to worship Him. Rather, no one could stop you from worshiping Him. Your knowledge of Him will produce worship of Him, and you will express that worship through obedience because you know He is worthy of it. 1 John 2:3 says this, "By this we know that we have come to know Him." Here's how we know Him: if we keep His commandments. No deep theology there. How do you know if you know God? You obey Him, because knowing Him will lead to that. We know that we know Him because we worship Him with obedience. Knowing God produces obedience like love produces sacrifice. If you come to know Him through His word, you will come to worship Him through your obedience to that word. Worship is not something we do in any place but in our hearts. Worship service is not something we attend on Sunday morning. It is something we attend to every minute of every day. Hebrews 12:28 through 29 says, "Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." The New International Version puts it this way, "Therefore, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe." Because we know that God has given us something that can never be taken away, let us express our thanks and gratitude as an offering for what He has done with acceptable service. Not attend an acceptable service, but rather perform the acceptable service of worship. The very definition of worship is then provided, displaying reverence and awe. Webster says worship is this: reverence offered a divine being or a supernatural power, an act of expressing such reverence. Reverence is defined as profound, adoring, awed respect. And that is the best definition for what I feel for God that I've ever heard. Profound, adoring, awed respect. Worship is reverence expressed. Psalms 5:7 tells us, "But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter into your house, to your holy temple. I will bow in reverence for you." Psalms 2:11, "Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling." Psalms 119:38 says, "Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you." One more time. Establish your word to your servants as that which produces reverence for you. Show me who you are through your word, so that knowledge will produce true worship in me. The act that most poignantly expresses our reverence, our profound, adoring, awed respect, is obedience. In the book of Leviticus, in chapters 19 and 26, reverence is linked directly and repeatedly to obedience. God gives a command and then says, "You shall revere your God and obey. You shall worship me with obedience," is what he's saying. This profound, adoring, awed respect of our worship occurs because we know the power he has. We know that he is a consuming fire, that no person or a thing can stand before. Our reverence for him is anchored in the truth that we know of him. The more you know him, the more you will worship him through obedience. We worship him because we know who he is, his character, and what he has done, can do, and will do. We come to know him through his word, and it is proven out by the experiences of this life. Worship is the end result of a divine process. Knowledge produces reverence. Reverence produces worship. And worship produces obedience. Obedience then produces the knowledge of God in others as they see him in you. It is a self-sustaining mechanism. Worship is something more dynamic than dragging yourself out of bed every Sunday morning and coming here for a service. Worship is service to the truth you revere through obedience. What we do here every Sunday is acknowledge and proclaim the truth we all serve and worship through the obedience to his word. We learn more truths here, and then we proclaim it in song and with testimonies of praise to each other. In here, we share our profound sense of awe and adoration of God with others, and we encourage each other towards obedience to his word. We endeavor to promote the service of worship with every worship service. Our worship has little to do anymore with location. It once did. As a place of worship is now determined by where you are when you express your reverence of him through obedience. Any place you happen to be when you submit yourself to the will of God becomes a place of worship. From the gates of hell to the gates of heaven. Holy ground is now defined by your current location. The veil in the temple was torn when the Spirit of God left the Holy of Holies and entered into our hearts. We may hold worship service here, but the service of worship is held wherever you stand in obedience to his word. Your school, your job, your home, your community, your hospital room, your cell, in a courtroom, are all places of worship when you obey. This place exists to help you make those places into places of worship. Where our building is, what it looks like, what name hangs over the door, has nothing to do with it being a place of worship. John 4:21, Jesus runs into a Samaritan woman, a despised Samaritan. They lived in the north, the Judeans lived in the south. And there was a conflict, and their main conflict is, where do we worship God? And the Samaritans believed it was at this mountain, and the Jews believed it was in Jerusalem. And this had divided them. And so he runs into the Samaritan woman, and she asks this question, where should we worship? In other words, which side are you taking here? As much a political question as it was a spiritual. And this is the answer Jesus gives. 4:21, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. A couple verses later, he says, the hour has come. Worship is the spiritual equivalent of physical intimacy. Let that sink in. It is the purest expression of truth and emotion a human can experience. Becoming one with the image of Christ, seeing him as he is, and then being like him. Worshiping God completes you. Jack Hayford wrote, worship changes the image of the worshiper into the image of the one being worshiped. It's a process. It does something. Worship is not an escape from reality. Worship is the recognition of it. The voice of worship proclaims the eternal truths that overwhelm the temporal. When we say praise the Lord, we declare the truth of God in praise. When we obey him, we prove the truth of God through worship. We don't worship to increase attendance. We worship because he is in attendance. We don't worship him to feel an emotion that must be felt. We worship him to express a truth that must be told. The feeling of euphoria is simply what truth feels like. Whenever we join together in praise and worship him, the heavens and the earth both join in with us. They anxiously wait to accompany any two of the more deaf-toned sons of God who bow a knee in reverence, lift the hands in praise, and turn their resolve to obey his word as they worship their God. Worshiping God doesn't diminish your value. It lets you experience it and prove to you and to the world who it is you revere and why. If obedience is the purest form of worship, then worship is the purest form of evangelism. So go ye into all the world and worship God. God doesn't need you to worship him. The world needs you to worship him. Amen. Next week, we're going to take a look at a question that vexes many of us. Does God's acceptance of our praise and worship mean that he is insecure?